the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com on the Progressive Voices channel, on Netroots Radio, on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Twitch and all that stuff, if everything's working correctly. Is this thing on? Hello? Can you hear me? All right. I'm a little slap happy. You know, last night we had the one and only debate here in Florida between the incumbent guy sitting in the governor's office and the once and I wish future governor, Charlie Crist. Because I got to tell you, I like Charlie a lot better now than I did when he was governor last time. Because last time he was a Republican and... But certain things haven't changed about Charlie Crist. He's always been this nice guy, very respectful, very polite, you know, and there's such a contrast between him and De Satan or death sentence or whatever you want to call the idiot who, you know what, let me just, before we get bring Laffy on, because Laffy's here today, let me just share with you what they said. One thing they said on The View. Oh, you know what? I don't have that clip. I pulled one clip from The View, but not the one I thought. Joy Behar said of Ron DeSantis, he's got the charisma of this cup. And that's something that I think a lot of people didn't realize because the country has not seen death sentence on this on the debate stage before. Remember, he was a backbencher in Congress. You know, from the panhandle of Florida, nobody ever heard of him until, frankly, Donald Trump plucked him out of obscurity off the back bench and put him on the front burner. He was not supposed to be the Republican nominee for governor 4 years ago. That was Adam Putnam, who had worked his way up through the Florida, you know, legislature and all the channels as they do. He was the ag commissioner, a Republican, and he was being groomed to be the next Florida Republican nominee. And, you know, they figured he'd become governor. And then the former guy pulls out DeSantis from obscurity. And again, I think he served two terms in Congress before he ran for governor. And nobody ever heard of him for good reason. There's nothing there. But what he learned was, what he took from Donald Trump was that you can lie with impunity about everything. You can just not care. The truth doesn't exist in their world. Say whatever the hell you want and just always claim you're right. And he picked that up. So there you go. All right. So, you know what? Let's not waste any time. We've got a lot of territory to cover today. So, let's get Laffy.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Woo! Every occasional Tuesday, Laffy joins us now. She is back in California right now. Hey, Laughter, how you doing?
Hey, Laughter. How am I really? What did what just happened to the picture?
Oh, I smushed it. I turned it around.
How am I? I'm a total wreck. That's how I really am. I am absolutely astounded that this country can be so backward and so stupid and so apathetic, unaware, misinformed, disinformed, gullible. I mean, I'm just amazed. Now, there's people I keep seeing on Twitter, people like, you know, Michael Moore. Like, I'm not talking about just regular run, you know, where I see a tweet run by and I don't know who it is. I'm talking about like blue check accounts that say, oh, we're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, we're.
And Michael Moore, you know what? Michael Moore is, thanks to a listener, a regular listener who said, you got to check him out. And I subscribe to his Substack, and every day he sends out another email explaining how the Democrats are going to win. And it will not only be like a win, but a tsunami.
I don't see that happening at all, but I hope he's right.
I mean,
my
right
God,
too.
I hope he's right, because, oh boy, you know, I listen to these pundits on TV and I don't understand their mindset. They say, well, if the Republicans take the House, it's just going to be just one thing after another. And they're going to, have impeachment hearings, and they're going to do this and that. Well, yes, true. But they're kind of missing the bigger picture, and that is, if the Republicans start taking over and they beat us by cheating at elections and overturning results, forget about what's going on in the House, because it's going to be irrelevant.
Yeah.
What's going on is that it will have a fascist government. And that's something they just don't say. Some people do. Some people
right.
do. But overall, it's just this, well, they're going to go after and they'll have hearings. Well, the hearings, sure, of course they will.
Okay, I've got one word to say. Benghazi. Yeah. Benghazi. They went after Benghazi ad nauseum for over 2 years. There was nothing there. Sort of like Ron DeSantis. Right. Nothing there.
Nothing
there was
there.
Nothing there. I took to calling it Benghazi Tourette's.
And my point is that even if they, of course, they're going to do the Benghazi thing. That's a given.
Right.
That's a given. What I'm saying is, now let's broaden the lens. That's not really the problem. That is a problem, but that's not the problem. The problem is that if the Republicans gain power, then fascism gains power.
Yeah, well, no kidding. And that is the worry. But look, we've got 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is the last day to vote. We also need to change our vernacular.
Yes.
Because
it's
no longer election day.
Right.
This is election season. Early voting has begun in most places. And if it's not yet in effect where you are, it will be soon. On November 8th, 2 weeks from today, that is the last day to vote. And if you think of it in those terms, you know, what we're seeing is this enormous early turnout. Everything you're talking about right now, it actually is perfect for this clip that I pulled from The View. I'm not a big watcher of The View, but I did see a thing online saying, their take on the debate last night was interesting. So there was some stuff. I didn't pull all of it. But this clip, it really applies to what we're saying here. So let's check this out. I don't know this woman's name. There's all these people on The View. I don't know.
I don't know any of them.
Whoever she is.
I don't watch it.
I don't know who she is, but she has a good point.
Historical voter turnout. So all of the talk of the different states that are maybe limiting access and trying to dissuade voters, they have lost this one, because right now we're seeing Florida had the most ballots with more than 1 million pre-election ballots cast. Georgia had more than 800,000. Nearly 7.3 million ballots have already been cast across 39 states.
And I think what's important to note is Florida, they are Democrats.
Right?
So Democrats are outpacing
Republicans
in terms of return.
That's what I
want
to do.
Said, I do think that Florida is where Democrats may be misreading the political mood more than
this
anywhere.
Woman.
Ron DeSantis has consistently performed 10 points up over Charlie Crist.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the issue, which I've spoken out against, I hated the flying migrants to Martha's Vineyard. I thought that was ridiculous theater. 50% of Hispanic voters in the state of Florida supported that action. By and large, Florida is the state that the most people are flocking to, 4 times more than any other state. So you can call him Death Santas, you can call him whatever you'd like. He's going to win the state
but
of Florida.
I thought that was for Texas.
Well, you know what? Until you can say that you can see the crystal ball, nobody knows who's going to win the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I mean, that's the thing. I say this to everybody for a reason, because I feel like it is a responsibility for us to remind everyone that it's your job to get out and vote in your state. Your job.
Okay.
So that's why I said that.
But go ahead. You absolutely are right.
She is absolutely right. So I'm sick of people saying, oh, well, you know, it's a given. He's 10 points ahead in the polls. I'm sorry. I will take some juice, I guess, from the fact that already over a million people in Florida have cast their ballots. And as one of those women who I don't know just said, the majority of them in Florida are Democrats. Please, please know what is at stake here and do the right thing. Don't trust the polls because we've seen them be wrong how many times in recent history? So let's give people the benefit of the doubt, all the while cajoling them into doing the right thing and voting.
Absolutely right. However, my worry, my eternal worry that I talk about every single time I'm on here, is that even if we win, unless it's by huge enough margins where, anyway, it's, and regardless, if we win anything, they're going to take it to court, drag it out for months, challenge, do their thing that they've learned to do and they're honing their skills on. They've got better lawyers this time and more to draw from. And so election night, the last day you can vote night, will not tell us as much as we need to know. And then the next day will tell us more and the next day will tell us more. But the whole time all that's going on, the Republicans are going to be challenging and challenging, and unless they win, it's going to be election fraud, election fraud, election fraud.
And look, they've been telegraphing it. They've been Carrie Lake, the woman who is the Republican candidate for governor in Arizona, has basically all but said, if I win, I'll trust the vote. If I don't, I won't. So we're in for a fight no matter what happens.
Exactly. So we do have to vote our asses off. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. I got kicked off Twitter for saying kick his ass, E. Jean Carroll.
Oh my God. Amazing.
I got kicked off Twitter for 12 hours because I said kick his ass in court, E. Jean Carroll. Anyway, sidebar. But yes, vote. If you aren't held at gunpoint when you approach a drop box, vote anyway.
Yep.
Because they're not going to do anything to you. And if they do, well, it's better that you vote and got killed. I don't know. I'm kidding. My God, please don't send letters and whatever.
It's okay.
But you know what I'm saying? The intimidation is intended to keep you from voting. Don't let that stop you. Where I live there, it's peaceful so far. So I could walk up to my drop box, which is right outside our civic center, you know, building and just peacefully drop it off, walk back to my car and go home.
Right. And I did
that all day.
I did that here yesterday. Now they've changed things in Florida because it used to be, you know, we'd get the vote by mail things. David would always take ours back into downtown Fort Lauderdale to the supervisor of elections office and drop them there. But now they have drop boxes. However, the drop boxes aren't there all hours whenever you want to go drop your ballot in. So they're available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Okay. So I drove by yesterday and there are two people manning the drop box. Okay. They took my ballots. They said, how many do you have? I said, two, mine and my husband's. They checked to make sure they were signed correctly on the envelope and said they are. I watched them put them in the box and they gave me my I voted early stickers and I'm done.
I didn't get one.
Oh,
because nobody was there.
Right.
You know, we used to walk my ballot into the city clerk's office and hand it to them. And then I'd get my sticker and I'd always put it on Hamilton's nose and take a picture of them. But I can't do that anymore because there's no people. Then that started because of COVID. So. But I'm fine with, you know, being able to drop my little ballot off.
Yeah.
Feel like I did something good. And, you know, at least in California, we are pretty blue here, even though we're going to have a few challenges, but, I think there'll be some flips, but back to
we'll
red.
We'll see.
Because there's a bunch of red.
You know, what
here.
We have to, I know there are, and like Orange County, you know, we used to always joke, you live down behind the orange curtain. And Orange County was always very red. And then it got a little bluer. And then, you know, they
turned blue.
They elected Katie Porter. Well, now Katie Porter is in danger. I mean, she could lose her seat. And what kills me is against this backdrop, against the backdrop of fascism, authoritarianism, dictators telling us what we can and can't do with our bodies. It's astounding. And I have some clips that I'll play, and the lies and the just the misinformation. Somebody in the chat room a couple of minutes ago said, if I can find it, so much today reminds me of the last days of democracy in Weimar Germany, 1933.
I hear this all the time.
I know. I do. Yet if you say it to the wrong people, oh, you're conflated. Once you talk Hitler, you can't turn back. Well, you know what? Look where we are.
Oh, and my God, yes.
So you can't deny it. You can't deny it.
It's not an exaggeration to say that. I remember back in, 2000, I don't know what, before 2016, people were saying that and getting hell for it. And the whole,
I know,
Hitler,
but
don't
now,
Hitler, don't abuse, people will get desensitized. But now it's true. I mean, look at the picture of the 405 freeway in Los Angeles with that group of white, whatever they are, that they come back every year and they do the Heil Hitler sign right over the freeway. And there was a viral tweet that went around because of that. Yes, they do come back every year, but this year it's not just on over the 405. This year it's all over, not only the United States, all over the world.
Oh, I know. And it's rising
that's
everywhere.
That's what scares me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everywhere.
Absolutely.
And Steve Bannon is a big part of that. He tried so hard, starting in 2016, even before, I'm sure, to spread all of that all over Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And he infiltrated as much as he could. And in France, they keep having, what's her name?
Oh my God, Marine Le Pen.
Le Pen.
But they do have, Italy just inaugurated their most far-right leader in decades.
Since World War II.
Yes.
They said, since World War II.
And
she's
the new guy.
As far-right as you can be.
The new guy in London, the new prime minister, is also very far-right. And here's the thing, though. Polls, because the Tories, that's the conservatives, have fucked things up so badly there between Boris Johnson and Liz Truss and now this new guy, who is kind of frightening, that the Labor, the like us, are polling like 30 points ahead of the Tories.
Right.
But the Tories can just appoint a new leader of the party. To have a new prime minister, they don't have to call a general election until, I believe, 2024. So they won't.
That's the thing. I mean, popularity is great. Yay. If Democrats are popular in an off year, yay. But we're not voting in an off year, so it doesn't make that much difference.
Right.
Immediate difference, in terms of voting. And Sweden. What about Sweden?
I don't know what's going on in Sweden.
They voted. Didn't they vote in a far right leader? Was it Sweden?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. Maybe I was absent that day. I don't know. Probably. I mean, there's just, look, I've stopped beating myself up. I cannot, grok everything going on. That's what stresses me out with when I try to do everything. It's like, I can't cover everything. I have an hour a day. So I realize there are certain things I can cover and certain things I'm better off not dealing with because frankly, my psyche is pretty, pretty fragile these days.
Yeah. I'm in anxiety hell. I'm just, so far gone. And here's the other thing that I was just going to say, even though we get to go to Canada in a couple of months where I do settle down a little bit, even though I'm still on Twitter every day and, concentrating on American politics, but it drives me nuts where people say to me on Twitter, well, Canada's not perfect either. Canada has the conservatives, terrible people, blah, blah, blah. Of course they do. Everybody does. What are they think that Canada is this little heaven that exists in a little shell that will never
break? No, it's a place that's not the United States that you can get to easily and you can live if need be. That and actually need be now. So Laffy, we got a lot of ground to cover today. I want to go through some of the stuff from the debate last night. You've got your tweet spot. Let's start with the debate stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So it was, I thought Charlie Crist was great. I thought Ron DeSantis, and this is not my biases speaking. This is based on their actual performance last night. I thought Charlie did a great job, and I thought Ron DeSantis showed who he is, which is he had to look down at his script before his big ooh line came out. Yes. And Charlie, so I'm going to show you a little a montage of sorts of like two or three clips here that sort of run together. And it starts with, I forget what they were talking about, but here, before I start playing it, I want to show you one other thing. This debate was in Fort Myers, Florida, which is about 2 hours up the East Coast from where I am. Fort Myers is a small town. There's a lot of them in Florida. Florida has a lot of different media markets. So Fort Myers has its own TV station. Do you see on the chyron here, it says inflation for Floridians? Do you see what it says in the little red box above it?
Sinclair Broadcast. There you go.
Sinclair Broadcast Group. So the station that hosted the debate is owned by Sinclair. And if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know who Sinclair is. They're worse than Fox. And the reason they're worse than Fox is because they do it on local TV stations and they inject.
And they present. They present news as if, I mean, their own
their opinion
as if it's news
exactly.
reporting.
Right. And it's dangerous because it's presented as local news. It's not some cable news channel. And people take that for whatever reason more seriously, like, oh, it must be real because it's our local people saying it. It's not.
Right.
You know, it's bullshit.
Bullshit.
It's complete bullshit. Anyway, when they cut to the moderator, I want you to look at her. I know this sounds catty.
Meow.
Tell me if she could possibly be wearing any more makeup, number one. And number two, how does she see out of those things on her eyes?
Okay, because I haven't seen her.
Okay, well, you
so
will.
So this will be my first time.
We start that on their screen is Charlie Crist. And for those of you listening to the audio stream, I'm sorry, but I had to point out those few visual cues. And, you know, come over to NicoleSandler.com after the show or go to YouTube. You'll see the video. It's all there and there's no paywall. All right. So let's hear this first clip. They were in the middle of talking about, I guess, inflation for Floridians. And Charlie says to Ron, well, I've got a question for you. Here's what happened.
I have a question for you. You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full 4-year term as governor. Yes or no?
Now look at the deer caught in headlights when they cut
yes
to,
or no, Ron.
To Ron.
Will you serve a full 4-year term as
governor? Robert, don't call now.
It's not a tough question. It's a fair question. He won't tell you.
Oops. It's a fair question. He won't tell you. Sorry, I got a call came in. Robert, I can't take calls right now. Sorry. So so he asked him, will you serve a full 4-year term if elected?
Right.
Ron DeSantis looked like the deer in headlights, didn't answer. Mm-hmm. Right. And then Ron DeSantis comes back with this bit of brilliance.
Well, listen, I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
See, that was his line. That was
he
his.
He couldn't wait to get that
oh,
in.
Oh, my God. But I don't know if you noticed. He looks down.
Yes, he did.
It's so he can read it right. And then, so it goes from there. I mean, you know, that was his one line. But Charlie got a few of them off. So this is one of my favorite exchanges, actually.
The coronavirus continues to be a significant concern. A pandemic was not something any of us were prepared for. There was no playbook, no list of time-tested strategies to stop this fast-spreading and dangerous virus. By the summer of 2020, Florida was slowly reopening under Governor DeSantis, while Democratic members of the state's congressional delegation, including Congressman Crist, were calling for new stay-at-home orders and a statewide mask mandate.
I just have to say, again, first of all, do you see her face and the makeup and the eyelashes?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was one trend that should have stayed in the 60s. False eyelashes are stupid. You look stupid. Why do you wear those things? Anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
But you can tell that the station is owned by Sinclair. Bias much in the questioning? Oh my right. God.
I kept, that's the thing. I wasn't watching it, but I was live reading it on Twitter for up to a point. And everybody was saying, who are these moderators? What are these moderators? Who chose these moderators? Everybody. That's I kept yep. seeing that sporadically coming into my feed. And I figured, well, and then I saw it was
Sinclair.
It was,
and
Sinclair,
we're
yeah.
also talking local, you know, TV stations that yeah. are hosting these yeah. local debates. And I'm sorry, you right. don't get the top rung talent at a local Fort Pierce Sinclair station. Just saying. All right. Okay. So, and I'm sorry about the double audio. I mean, it just sounds a little echoey. Somebody said it sounds like auto-tune. It's the way I dubbed it. And it's, you know, my producer, what are you going to do? I can fire her, I guess. But, you know, I got to humor her to keep her around because I don't pay her much. I pay her nothing. She really sucks. Anyway, so back to this question. So talking about COVID, but Charlie right. goes in on morons. Business acumen here. This is a great exchange.
Looking back more than 2 years later, are you satisfied
more
with
than
your
two years
to the
later
COVID response? Congressman?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with my approach. I would have listened to scientists, unlike the governor.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way,
talk about how we reopened this. And
the audience was as rowdy as they can get. This moderator told them, we're going to be silent during the debate. You can clap at the beginning, you clap at the end, but nothing during the. They didn't do anything to silence the
That's
crowd.
That's the other thing I kept reading.
Oh, my that God.
It was just a free for all. And they were like saying, you know, the little tweets I was seeing were like, it's out of hand. Can't they get a grasp on this?
No,
thing?
They obviously didn't care because they would have had people in the audience to shush them when yeah. it started. And both sides were bad. I mean, Charlie right. Crist had some really rowdy people there, and I'm glad it wasn't only the death sentence yeah. people cheering, yeah. but they were cheering every time death sentence said, and you vote with Joe Biden 100% of the time. Yeah. It was like, okay, good. They were cheering a lot. The things he said that were meant to be put downs. Anyway, back to the COVID response.
Reopen that. You can keep things reopened, but you got to do it with an eye toward what healthcare providers tell you. Not being arrogant, so arrogant that you won't listen to their advice about when masks are appropriate.
Right?
And later on, when they probably are not, like now.
Well,
we don't need
wrong.
Them now.
That you do
but
need
you
them now. Stop that, stupid.
Ron, I wouldn't pat yourself on the back too much about your response to COVID. We've lost 82,000 of our fellow Floridians.
Yes.
And when you look at the Thanksgiving table, one of those empty seats is probably one of those people for many families watching tonight. And if we had only had the standard of other states in the United States, 40,000 of those people would still be alive, enough to fill Tropicana Stadium in St. Petersburg.
Whoa.
That's tragic.
That's time.
Right, that was good.
He called for harsh lockdowns in July of 2020. And if that had happened in this state, it would have destroyed the state of Florida.
No, it wouldn't.
Our hospitality and tourism industry, which has thrived, would have gone into disrepair. It would have
Bullshit.
Thrown millions of Floridians into turmoil. And I can tell you, as Charlie Crist and his friends in Congress were urging you to be locked down, I lifted you up. I protected your rights.
Oh.
I made sure you could earn a living.
Yeah.
I made sure you could operate your businesses. And I worked like heck to make sure we had all our kids
like
in school
heck.
In
That's
person
time,
5 days a week.
Okay. First of all, that's so disingenuous. Let Charlie Crist respond.
And we had one of the highest death rates in America, Ron. And over 6 million of our fellow Floridians have gotten COVID
yep.
under your leadership.
Yep.
Now, that's not something to be boastful and proud about. I'm pro-business. I want to make sure we keep our businesses open. I'm not the governor who attacked Walt Disney World because they deigned to express their point of view.
Hello.
I'm not the governor who attacked the cruise industry because they just wanted to make sure that their customers weren't sick before they got on the boat.
Yep.
That's you. You're the most anti-business governor I've ever seen.
How awesome was that? That was
good.
A great line. And I got to tell you, somebody put together
a montage,
thank you, of just Ron DeSantis, a close-up on Ron DeSantis's face as Charlie Crist is saying these things. Like, you're the most anti-business governor I've ever seen. So watch him.
We had one of the highest death rates in America, Ron, and over 6 million of our fellow Floridians have gotten COVID under your leadership. Now, that's not something to be boastful and proud about.
Look at his
I'm
face.
I'm pro-business. I want to make sure we keep our businesses open.
Looks
I'm
like
not the governor
cry.
Who attacks
right?
Walt Disney World because they deign to express their point of view. I'm not the governor who attacked the cruise industry because they just wanted to make sure that their customers weren't sick before they got on the boat. That's you. You're the most anti-business governor I've ever seen.
He's got this weird tick. He keeps, like, his head tilts to the right.
Like a bobble, bobblehead only sideways.
Right, to the right. He goes to the right. Yeah. Here's when Charlie Crist called him out on being a bully.
I know you love to bully people, and the little name-calling you just exchanged, I can take it. But you shouldn't do it when children are standing behind you at a press conference and they're wearing a mask and giving hell. But apparently that's your nature, and that's too bad. So what we need to do on the economy is make sure that we're focused on...
Yeah, so he does this, like, fake smile or his bottom teeth show. But that was his comeback when he said, oh, the donkey. Oh, I forgot to tell you the best part. So, you know, he made that stupid thing about... let me just play that again so I can show you what Chris came out with today. This one.
Well, listen, I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
Yeah. So the Charlie Crist campaign today introduced new merch. Donkeys kick back. So there's
awesome.
A hat and a T-shirt that say donkeys kick back. You go to charliecrist.com/store. Isn't that great?
I thought that's really terrific.
I thought that was really smart.
Very John Fetterman.
Yes. I think he's learning a little bit.
He picked up a couple of cues. Yeah.
So,
you know, but DeSantis always looked like in that montage of clips, which you only showed a tiny bit of.
Yeah.
But when you showed me, you know, when I saw it earlier, he looks like this little kid whose mother caught him at something and he didn't know whether to smile or cry.
Well,
or twitch, or
I'll,
I mean,
I'll show you two more. I'm not going to do too much because we want to get to your tweet spot, but and maybe at the end, if we have time, I'll play some more clips. But a couple more of the more on death sentence facial reactions. Here's his reaction to being called out for his ratcheting up the culture wars. Went like this.
It's all about dividing us. I'm a uniter. I think we need to be giving our state a chance to unite again. You love dividing our state. You know, whether it's blacks against whites, whether it's gay against straight, whether it's young versus old. You're making it harder for people to vote in our state. You know, we just started early voting today, and he made it harder to mail in ballots. I have a 90-year-old father, an 88-year-old mother. They love to exercise vote by mail. He's made it harder, along with the Florida legislature. That's anti-democracy.
So, again, he looks so uncomfortable. He just doesn't know what to do with himself. And here, when Chris calls him out on being a liar.
Ron, again, that's not true, and you know it. You know, I watched
your
debate
smile.
4 years ago, and I remember your opponent said that, you know, in the last debate, I guess he got two instead of the one we're getting. He said Ron lied 21 times, and when you did it again in his second debate, he goes, well, there's number 22. I don't know why you are so compelled to be disenfranchised from the truth as much as you are. Maybe it's because you don't want to talk about your record. You don't want to talk about how you've made Florida unaffordable for most of our citizens. You don't want
Thank
to talk
you,
about a woman's right to choose and these other things that are so important to Florida
That's
today.
That's time. Thank you.
Yeah. It
and
just
time.
Went.
And time.
One Thank one you. Last one. I think this is where he says, is it my time?
Yes or no, Ron?
Yes or no, Ron?
Will you serve a full 4-year term if you're reelected governor of Florida? It's not a tough question.
Is my time?
It's a fair question. He won't tell you.
We did not agree on the candidates asking each other questions.
Is it my time? Is it my time? Is it my time? I've got more, but you know what?
Oh, my God.
Is it my time? I think we need to let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay. Fantoma in the chat room says, I think I hate DeSantis more than Trump, but they both still need to be buried under the jail. Yeah.
Oh, God. They're both awful. They're just both terrible.
Didn't I tell you guys how bad he was? And you didn't even hear the worst of it, because I didn't pull out his most heinous moments. By the way, today, in addition to putting the Donkey's Kickback merch on sale, Charlie Crist tweeted, I'm inviting Ron DeSantis, FL, to two more debates. An hour was apparently not enough time for him to answer simple questions, like whether he'll stay on the job for 4 years or if he'll ban abortion outright. I'm happy to give him a do-over, since Floridians deserve answers.
Oh, now that was good.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely is learning from Fetterman. That is so Fetterman.
Yep, he's trolling him today.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so.
Well, now that I'm absolutely exhausted from laughing. So Igor Volsky, he does a lot of gun tweeting. You know, he's very anti-gun.
Well,
he
runs the organization, I think it's called Guns Down America, if I recall correctly.
He used to be at
Think Progress and left to start up Guns Down America. Yep.
And he's very good at it. This is also true. He said in preparation, and this is what we're turning into in 2022, actually prior, but in preparation for potential violence ahead of midterm elections, election officials are varying times and routes used to travel to work, adding Kevlar and bullet-resistant acrylic shields to election offices.
Oh, my God.
Offering de-escalation training and active shooter training. This is what our election officials have to do.
That's really...
They should no more have... I saw a segment on this. I think it was on the Maddow Show. I don't remember. But where they were showing an office... Oh, you know what? I think it was Alex Wagner. She went to this guy's office. He's an election official. And he showed the changes they were making physically in his office that they had to go through. And it's really basically this. And it was so disturbing, so alarming, that voting has become a thing where you have to wear a bulletproof vest now, and where the people who try to help you to vote, who try to help you with democracy and with your voice being expressed in this government, you know, in this country, that they have to defend their lives to do it. They have to risk their lives to do it. Anyway, I'm just on a thing about that.
I hear you.
Ugh, God.
David just stuck his head in to tell
only
me.
His head?
Only his head. That a judge, I'm looking to see if there's anything, no alert has come over yet. No, but a judge in Leon County, that's the Tallahassee area of Florida, ruled that Moron death sentence must release documents relating to the airlift of the asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. So,
good.
Yep. So at least that's happening.
He's going to have some consequences for that. I just wish they'd happen quicker.
Yeah, I wish everything would happen quicker.
Well, yeah, me too.
The scales of justice turn slowly, too slowly, I think.
It's glacially. It's terrible. But that's, I mean, in a way it's good because you want it to be done correctly, but oh boy, does it take long.
I know.
Kyle Griffin tweeted this. Heads up. State election officials directed 60,000 Virginia voters to the wrong polling place for the midterms, and they blamed it on private printing companies that produced the notices. And earlier this month, the department disclosed that an unspecified technical glitch had left about 107,000 voter applications in limbo for months. But a little silver lining, Democrats seized on the string of errors to question the competence of the election department under Governor Glenn Youngkin, former private equity chief who won the office last year on promises to bring, quote, and his executive skills to state government.
Okay.
State election directed 60,000 Virginia voters to the wrong polling place.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
And so there, one time I went to the wrong polling place. I don't know why I didn't have it in front of me, but I couldn't remember. And I was new to the area. And I said, you know, I kind of remember seeing flags hanging out over here at this school. So I went over to the school and they said, yes, you can vote here with a provisional ballot.
No.
At that time, I didn't realize how useless that. I said, good, you know,
I
voted. Mm. But yeah, I mean, so if 60,000 voters are having to use provisional ballots, those voters are going to not really feel comfortable with their votes being counted.
Right. Now, just so you know, there's some controversy about provisional ballots. If there's no other way for you to vote, then by all means, take the provisional ballot.
Yes,
however,
yes.
If you can get a regular ballot, that's why voting early is so important. That's why I'm thrilled to see the numbers of people who are voting early in Georgia and in Florida, mm-hmm. because that gives you time. If you go and they say, oh, you're not on the rolls or you have to have a provisional ballot, you have time to fix it. So don't wait until the last minute. I know some people like to go on Election Day. It's sort of a throwback. We don't have Election Day anymore. You got to get out of that mindset. Vote early so that you have time to fix the problem if you run into a problem, because
exactly.
Every vote is so important right now.
I totally agree with that. All right. So now, speaking of horribleness, Adam Klasfeld of Law Crime News, he said the federal lawsuit trying to block vigilantes, the ones we were just talking about, and those encouraging them from gathering in front of ballot drop boxes to intimidate them has a hearing today. This was 6 hours ago, or more than 6 hours ago. The case has been assigned to a Trump appointee.
Oh, God. Which could go either way.
Let's hope that this isn't a Judge Cannon, and that it's more like the kind of appointee that actually is fair and judicious and judicial-minded. We'll see.
Yes.
This is about holding guns to people, you know, while they're trying to vote.
Some of these Trump-appointed attorneys are attorneys who say, you know, maybe this doofus appointed me, but I'm a judge with a lifetime appointment.
Yes.
I'm going to, rule with integrity and as the law dictates.
Right.
Then there
right.
are others like Judge Cannon, who are tools, who are just right-wing political tools. And
absolutely.
It's a luck of the draw when you get one of these people.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Anyway, Matthew Dowd, here's a two-parter. This is something that I've been saying, too. It's driving me nuts. I've been sounding alarms with you on Twitter, everywhere else, for years. He said this. Something struck me the other day. I don't know why it just struck him the other day, but all these news organizations doing forecasts on what's going to happen in this election and giving odds or ratings on who will win or lose without saying the damage possible from the result does a disservice to citizens. It would be like the news media saying a hurricane's going to hit and giving models for the path, but without telling folks the damage it could do and how to avoid that damage. It's like, day in and day out, you hear hosts and pundits and so on sounding alarms, telling us all the horrible things that are happening and that can go wrong, just like we've been doing today. But the people who might be able to tell us what we can do about it don't do it often enough. I rarely hear, here's what you should do, guys. You should, you know, pick up a phone and call so-and-so. You can write to your so-and-so. You can get out there and vote early, like what you just said. Don't wait till the last minute. Just things that are common sense that people don't really either think about or are just not aware of, you know, like they need to be educated. And that's not happening. And that's basically what he was saying in these tweets. Educate the public.
Good, because you know what? The public needs to be educated, because if they're relying on these creatures, by creatures, I mean Republicans, to tell them what's going on, they're going to be misled. You know, I've got all these clips of Carrie Lake. Let me just play one for you as an example of this is what they do. This is what they do.
They hide and they put out bogus polls and make people think it's close. I can tell you it is not close. We drew 3,500 people to a rally and a concert that we had on Saturday night. Conversely, my opponent had her biggest campaign event of the season, and there were 15 people there. Hmm. These polls are not close. We have a movement, and nothing's going to stop it.
What's that?
Sorry, we hit the wrong button. But that's bullshit. I thought I was hitting my bullshit button. It's here.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit. She's lying about everything. The polls are incredibly close. They are so close, they're maybe a tenth of a point apart. Don't listen to the lies. She's lying about everything. Everything.
Everything. Well, this is the first election where I really have avoided most of the polls. If it's a reliable source and it's far enough, you know, in the right time frame, I'll take a look, figure it's a snapshot, mm-hmm. and see how the next one is. And after a while, I stopped because it's pointless. Norm Ornstein on this topic says, it's so frustrating to see cable news and other media treating this election as normal. Uh-huh. All horse race all the time.
Yep.
Nothing on what the consequences will be for the country if Republicans win this is what I was saying before, win the House, Senate, or both. Election denying governors. I'm going to comment on that in a second. AGs, secretaries of state. So destructive. Okay, first of all, stop calling them just election deniers. Yes, of course you can call them that. But they're fascists.
Yep.
They're liars.
They're traitors.
They're insurrectionists. And they're not just denying elections and they're just, you know, sort of passively saying things, or they're actively trying to flip elections. They're actively trying to make your vote not count. What we've been saying is that the consequences of the Republicans, even just taking the House, is what I was saying before. Yes, they'll have all these stupid hearings. And they'll get a lot of press for it, and the media will fall for it. But beyond that, because there's a whole lot of beyond that, they're going to be building those foundations for more fascism. And they're going to have the control to do it. And they're going to have people as Secretary of State and on election boards and everywhere else, attorney generals, making the rules for our vote. And our votes will not count. So we have to vote these people out. We have to.
And you know, I every year I get, David and I have a running joke because some commentator in a very serious voice says, you know what, this election, it's all going to come down to turnout. Well, no shit, Sherlock. It always comes down to turnout. He or she who gets the most votes wins. The most mm-hmm. votes comes from getting the most people to come out and vote. Hello? Yeah. It's always about turnout. This is their big revelation?
They say it every time.
Every time.
Every election cycle.
Oh, this is all going to come down to turnout. Yeah! It's an election! Yeah. That's how it works! Oh, my God!
I know. Stating the obvious, it's so annoying. I hate platitudes. I hate redundancies. I hate the whatever this would be. Meaningless. Yeah, duh. Empty Wheel, our buddy Marcy. She said, "Dear New York State, dear New York State. Among the many reasons you're going to want to make sure Lee Zeldin doesn't win the gubernatorial is because if he does, one, Trump can be pardoned in New York State. And two, he might move back to the state."
Oh, yeah. I don't think he will.
Yeah.
Because
he likes it in Florida.
Because, you know, it's here's the answer. It's not the heat. It's the humidity that melts the brain cells. That's what it is. It's just the melt. Yeah. That's all.
That's why I live in California, because we have dry heat.
I know.
My brain cells are dry.
I know.
They're not sopping wet.
By the way, there are debates tonight too. Do you know that?
Yes.
There is
Fetterman
and Oz debate at I want to say 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock, the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, debates her challenger, the brilliant Tudor Dixon. Have you heard Tudor Dixon, Laffy?
I think I have, and I'm trying to forget.
Well, let me share one. It's just a quickie. But this was mm-hmm. Tudor Dixon. She was on with Maria Bartiromo, my favorite.
Oh,
and listen to the question and then listen to her answer. Because maybe she's deaf.
And real quick on Iran, are your constituents worried about what's going on with this administration pursuing an Iran deal when you've got people in the streets of Iran chanting death to the Supreme Leader?
Absolutely. It's been something that I've heard out on the streets when I've been talking on the campaign trail. What? They're asking, what do I think will happen with the federal government? What? Will we see a red wave? What? And after these last few weeks, I believe that we will. People do not want to engage in this kind of rhetoric outside of the United States.
What?
All right, Tudor Dixon will be watching. Thanks very much, Michigan.
Question was about Iran.
A answer to a different thing.
That's what I said.
It,
maybe she's deaf. I don't know. The question was about Iran and the protests and all that.
Yeah.
Somebody's calling me. Stop. Shoot. What the hell was that?
I don't know what that was.
If that's how she answers questions tonight, that'll be great. And the voice, that was Maria Bartiromo.
That was awful.
Oh, my God. I thought Judge Jeanine was bad.
I had not heard her in so long, in years.
Whoa.
Laura Rosen, who's a really terrific reporter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
know
Laura. It's Laura, R-O-Z-E-N.
Yeah.
And at L. Rosen, L-R-O-Z-E-N.
Who does she write for? She writes
Just Security editorial board,
Politico,
foreign policy alum. I can't even read this. Anyway, she's talking about the progressive letter with the 30 signatures
on it about Ukraine. We got to go here.
Which I know we do. It drives me nuts because it's monopolizing a lot of Twitter.
Yes.
It should not
this
be.
This was what,
move.
I think what they call in sports an unforced error. This was stupid. Yeah, this was
exactly
a mistake.
Exactly what everyone's been calling
this
it.
This was stupid.
So they withdrew their letter. A couple of people have come out saying, that was a long time ago. I don't know what I was thinking or whatever. Now, I haven't looked at Twitter in about an hour, but Politico was saying that now they have somebody who said that Jayapal did sign off on it. Then somebody, I think it was, what's his name? I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. Liberal has a huge website, and I can't think of his name.
Liberal has a huge website.
He said,
Go ahead. Liberal with a huge website. I don't know.
He thought that maybe what happened was that she signed off on it while rushing, not really thinking much would come of it, and then somebody got overzealous and decided they were going to run with it. So, but he said it was still a stupid move and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a stupid move. It was especially timing everybody, who the heck said, let's release this now. That's a great idea. 2 weeks before the midterms, things are, crazy.
Right.
Let's do it now.
Yeah. Not very smart. And the Jayapal and the others in the Progressive Caucus are blaming staffers. She's saying that, we did this back in July. A staffer released it now. I don't know why. I don't know if that's true. Either way, look right. It just is bad optics. And she's smarter than that. I really like her. But this is her second, in your face, bad move. It doesn't look good.
No. And I know she's smarter than that, too. I don't know what the heck she was thinking or if it wasn't her, what anybody was thinking, releasing it. Oh, and what's driving me nuts is that it's getting momentum. And when something gets momentum, it's a 2 or 3 day cycle, and we don't need that.
And you've got liberals. I'm just watching on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got liberal on liberal fighting, which is never good.
Exactly, which is terrible. So I'm staying out of this one. I do think it was a terrible mistake, but moving on because I don't want to dwell on it.
Please, thank you. Okay. It's just bad.
The whole thing is
forget that
wrong.
Happened. Just.
Yeah,
move on.
I could
move on.
Okay, so going to yesterday or whenever it was, today the 25th. Yeah, yesterday, Justice Thomas issued an administrative stay. Okay,
yep.
So Steve Bladick reported. To be clear, Justice Thomas issued an administrative stay which blocks the 11th Circuit ruling only temporarily while the full court decides whether to block it pending appeal. This is about the whatchamacallit, the my mind just went totally blank.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't, on the, oh God. the Trump thing. My mind is just
which thing?
The case that's
in court in New York now with Alan Weisselbrat or whatever his name is testifying against the Trump organization, or is this about the documents at Mar-a-Lago? Or there's a lot.
The 11th Circuit on the 11th Circuit,
that's the documents, the Mar-a-Lago stuff.
I couldn't get the word document. Thank you.
The Judge Cannon thing, right? With the special master and all that. It's all the documents. Yeah.
Right, right. So the 11th Circuit only, it was temporary. While the court decides whether to block a pending appeal, such a ruling is not predictive of how the full court or even Thomas will vote on the stay. And Lawrence Tribe says, let's not minimize it. It was plainly unlawful under 28 U.S.C. 455 for Justice Thomas to take any action at all other than recusing and passing the baton to another justice. Even granting a brief, quote, administrative stay showed his contempt for the law he is sworn to uphold, period. And then Michael Beschloss followed up with reposting this for some reason, and he reposted his own tweet.
Uh-huh.
Definition of recuse: excuse oneself from a case because of a potential conflict of interest or lack of impartiality. Yes, it was the document case from Mar-a-Lago. Sorry, I had the brain freeze. And it should have been not even sent to the Supreme Court. It should have just the whole thing shouldn't have even gone with to Judge Cannon, the Trump judge who's his flunky.
Right.
But since it is. The point of this really should be about recusal. It should, yes, it'll probably it's about recusal.
Right. So, you know, again, I've seen a lot of great legal minds on Twitter saying, look, Thomas's ruling in this case is a temporary thing. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. But it does send a huge message in that he's not recusing himself, which he should. That's the issue here. Not that he issued this temporary stay while the full court considers it. That's normal. What's not normal is him not recusing himself here.
On any of these cases, anything that comes before him having to do with January 6th, he should be recused. That's
everything.
End of story.
Yeah. Well, he should be impeached for so many reasons. He lied on his financial forms. Look, whoever in the founders thought, oh, the Supreme Court doesn't have to be held to ethical standards, fucked up big time. Fix it. Congress, fix it.
Oh, Congress. I mean, who? Who in Congress is going to fix it? The Republicans?
No. I mean, well, I know, right?
That's what I'm saying. The Democrats would, but then they have a couple of people who probably wouldn't. So
just insane.
Yeah, it is insane. Everything is insane. The world is insane right now.
I know.
The country is insane right now. And I'm going to go hide under my desk
My notes covered you. I know.
No, it's okay.
Just crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm looking to see what else happened today. Brittany Griner, filed an appeal. Yes. They denied her appeal. Great. I hope we're doing something to get her out of there.
I bet we are. But, you know, we can't know about it. So it's frustrating. Yep. And this poor woman, my God.
I know. I really feel for her. Oh, and the Leslie Jordan. I never knew his name. The actor, the cute little impish guy.
Yes, I guess he was so young. I didn't know he was only 67.
67. And they say he drove his car into a house or something. I'm wondering if he...
Apparently he had some kind of a medical thing happen, and so he drove his house into a house.
That's what I thought. Yeah. He probably had a heart attack or something. And then...
Probably.
Yeah, crashed.
I'm sure they'll tell us eventually what happened. But what a loss. First of all, what a little cute cherub he was.
I know, right?
And everybody who worked with him apparently just adored him. Mm. And plus, he's just so great to watch. I mean, so much fun. And such
very
a good
fun.
Actor. Oh, God.
Sad. Life is short. It was very short. Well, that's why I said impish. But he's, you know, a little.
Yeah, young. Very impish.
But,
yeah.
But he was cute. He was adorable and always
just
funny.
Adorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And always a bright spot. He was never somebody you didn't like. And we don't have enough people like that
right
now.
I agree. I truly agree.
We need people who are likable and kind and sweet.
People.
And ethical.
People.
Are the luckiest. Okay, let's not even try because we'll crack the screen.
in the world. Okay. So tomorrow, check this out. Oh, shoot. I left the book inside. I've got a bunch of book of authors coming up, like really good ones. So tomorrow, there's a new book out about the pool boy who had the thing with Becky Falwell where Jerry watched. Well, the pool boy wrote a book. I don't have him. Giancarlo something or other. I have his co-author, the actual writer, excellent. Coming on, who wrote for the New York Times for many years, Mark Ebner. So I have him tomorrow. Right. On Thursday, I'm taping two. One of them is with Robert Draper.
Wonderful.
Called Weapons of Mass Delusion, and it's how the crazies took over the Republican Party. He's been doing the rounds. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, he has.
And then a woman who has a book called Raising Them Right, and it's about all these young right-wingers being raised, you know, right, like as right-wing.
No, I was saying raising who, what, goats?
Yep.
No, raising them right, that's that's a really important topic,
it is.
Actually.
I know.
That's how it starts.
That's how it starts. Raised. Indoctrination.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what's happening for the rest of the week. Though tomorrow, the Jerry Falwell story. So I don't know what to expect. But there's a movie in conjunction with the book, too. Billy Corbin, who's a great filmmaker from Miami, worked with this guy, too, I guess, and made a documentary that's supposed to be released sometime soon as well. I'll have all the details tomorrow.
Is it my time?
Ron DeSantis, what a piece of shit he is. Should I give you one more, Rhonda, since we're in overtime? Let me give you one more Ron DeSantis. Let's see. Do you want to hear, I don't have video. You can hear either about CRT in education, about Martha's Vineyard, or about abortion or trans kids. You want to hear abortion? Okay, let's hear the abortion one. Here we go.
Of public policy debate for the past couple of years, perhaps never more so than after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Right now, a legal challenge to Florida's 15-week abortion ban passed by the legislature and signed by Governor DeSantis is making its way through the courts. The Florida Supreme Court, which will ultimately decide on this issue, has previously found the state constitution's privacy clause applies to abortion access. This question comes from Wayne in Stewart.
Okay.
In your opinion, after what week of pregnancy should abortion be banned? Governor.
Well, I was thinking back in the aftermath of this a poor woman over 40 years ago in Jamaica, and she found herself pregnant, didn't think there'd be much opportunity to have a child, was urged to abort the baby, went to get the abortion, and, you know, for whatever reason, that we can't explain, what ended up happening, and she ended up having the baby. And I think about that because a few months ago, I appointed her daughter to be the first Jamaican-American justice in the history of the Florida Supreme Court. I just think we're better when everybody counts. I understand not everyone's going to be born in perfect circumstances, but
please.
I would like to see everybody have a shot. I'm proud of the 15 weeks that we did.
He's proud
of it. I know Charlie Crist opposes that, even though the baby is fully formed, has a heartbeat, can feel pain, and can suck their thumb.
No, it doesn't.
He also supports sex-selective abortions, which
doesn't.
Is used to discriminate against little girls. He supports dismemberment abortions, where they literally will tear the baby limb from limb, and he supports taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up until the moment of birth, and that is wrong.
Bullshit. Okay.
Ron, that's just not the truth, and you know it. You know it. He wouldn't answer your question. Do you want to ban abortion completely? He never got to it. He talked about Jamaica. I don't want to ban abortion. I want to make sure we keep a woman's right to choose available to the women of the state of Florida.
Thank you.
And I want to make sure that we don't have a governor in the future who wouldn't even allow exceptions for rape or incest. We just found out.
Oh, that's all I pulled from that one. But yeah, he wants to talk about Jamaica.
That answer, I kept waiting for him to answer the question anyway.
He never
started talking about Jamaica.
So Charlie Crist, according to DeSantis, wants abortion, dismemberment abortion. an abortion up to the time of birth. Oh, and by the way, the Jamaican woman, people told her that the kid didn't have a chance and she should get an abortion. That's such bullshit. That just doesn't happen. Just like abortion to the moment of birth. It just doesn't happen. By the way,
they say whatever they want.
Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you about this. So I read this shortly before we came on the air. The headline reads, shock poll. Biden beats Trump by 4 in new survey, but Kamala Harris beats him by 15 points. Listen to this. And it's a Federalist poll. After months underwater, the political fortunes of the president's party underwent a reversal over the past few months. And with it, President Biden experienced a rebound. Even after that rebound, the president's approval rating remains in negative territory. But according to a new poll conducted by Susquehanna Polling and Research, the president still beats Trump in a head-to-head matchup by 4 points. You wouldn't know that from the write-up of the poll, which was commissioned by the Conservative Federalist. And so it has their write-up, which they focus on his approval ratings rather than the actual poll. But when respondents to the poll were asked, if the general election for president were being held today and the choices were Donald Trump, the Republican, and Joe Biden, the Democrat, for whom would you vote? 48% chose Biden. Only 44% chose Trump. And then when respondents were asked if the general election for president was being held today and the choices were Donald Trump, Republican, and Kamala Harris, the Democrat, for whom would you vote? Harris beat Trump by 15 points, 54% to just 39%. According to the pollster, quote, the margin of error for a sample size of 800 interviews is at plus or minus 3.46% at the 95% confidence level. And according to 538, Susquehanna is a B plus rated pollster.
Oh.
So yeah. I know, look, polls, whatever, but encouragement. This is encouraging. So it's like
because it was a big margin. I mean, if it was, you know,
if it was just two points, right? Since the margin of error is three and a half, basically.
Good.
Right.
Keep it up.
Yeah. And there was one other thing, but you know what? I'll have to save it for tomorrow because I seem to have lost it. I lost it
years ago.
Yeah. No, I had a tab open and I close things, my adult ADD, but I'm so sick of hearing these fucking Republicans talking about, they want abortion up to the time of birth. That's such bullshit.
That's called birth.
They all say it. They all say it. It's a talking point. So Glenn Kessler at the Washington Post actually did a deep dive on it. I thought I had it saved here. I will share it tomorrow. At the beginning of the show, because it's important, because, you know, the one thing I was screaming back at the TV and Charlie Crist didn't do it. And Val Demings didn't do it the other night either, because both Marco Rubio and moron death sentence said my opponent supports abortion up to the moment of birth, which is
bullshit.
So and neither one of them called it out forcefully enough. Val Demings said at the very end of her very long drawn out response, I believe in abortion up to the time of viability. And Charlie Crist didn't even verbalize it that much, but he said it enough times. Nobody, let me say this again right to camera, nobody gets an abortion at the time of birth. And the only time there's a third trimester abortion is in the event of a catastrophic problem that would cost the mother her life. That's when they do that. And yeah, I'm sorry. At that point, the mother's life is more important than a baby who has not yet been born. Period.
Well, if you have an abortion at the time of birth, that's birth.
That's birth. There is no such thing as I'm talking about a third trimester abortion, which is so rare. They just
really
don't
rare.
Happen. And at the moment of birth, that doesn't happen.
That's ridiculous.
Let someone say that to my face. I will let them have it. And I don't understand why none of these people do.
Well, I don't either. I don't understand that either.
So
be forceful, be firm, be confident in what you're saying. People will listen and appreciate that. And if you're emotional.
No, wait, you know, Chet in the chat room said, yes, they do, Nicole. It's called delivery. That's delivery. That's not abortion.
Right. That's called birth.
Okay. Yes.
If you have an abortion at the time of birth, that means removing the baby at the time of birth. That means the baby is
being
born.
No, but it's not an abortion. No, it's not an abortion.
That's what I'm saying.
There is no abortion at the time of birth. It's birth at the time of birth.
Right.
Okay.
So stupid.
God.
I can't. Honestly, I can't.
Nor can I.
Anyway, I'm taking off. I don't know about you. I got to walk hammy.
Oh, I got to make dinner. Actually, it's already made. I just heat it up.
Oh, well, that's good.
Okay.
Much easier.
So let's look at again. So you and I are supposed to talk. You do every other week when you're home.
Yeah.
So next Tuesday is November 1st. By the way, next Friday is my birthday. And then the following Tuesday is Election Day, November 8th. I guess you're going to be here day.
I guess so. Okay. I'm going to be going out of my mind.
And by the way, I had a birth on November 4th. I was not aborted, but born on that day. Just saying. And you know who my guest is going to be that day?
Who?
On my birthday, Bill Mooney.
Oh, yeah, you do that, don't Bill you? Mooney. Don't you usually do that on your birthday?
No.
Or just random?
It's just, you know, he wrote a new book. He wrote his own autobiography, finally. You know, the last time he was on, he had written a book with Veronica Cartwright, who was one of his co-stars on Lost in Space.
She came and spoke at my class.
Did she?
Very, very nice woman. And she came and she spent an hour with us. She was wonderful.
Cool. Well, I had never even met her before, but she and Bill wrote this book together. And it's like, yeah, sure, I'll have you on together. But now Bill has his own book. And so he's going to come on my birthday. So, yay.
That's so cool.
So I'll be here.
That's
great. Yay. Yay.
Well.
All right. On that note. All right. Yes, it's my birthday. November 4th is my birthday.
Oh,
and then in a couple of weeks, Bonnie Raitt's coming to town, and I'm going to go see her. So
I saw her live once.
I've seen her many times. She actually invited us to the show on November 16th. So
very cool.
That is a Wednesday night. We will be seeing her. I will not be interviewing her because she really doesn't do interviews when she's touring. But maybe when the tour ends, we'll see.
Maybe.
Okay, with that, I'm stalling because we got to watch these debates tonight. Okay, go John Fetterman, go Gretchen Whitmer. Debate time in the city is here, and I hope they do better than.
Oh, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
All
right. I don't think debates matter that much, but if they do hit it out of the park somehow, then yes, it will matter. But overall, somebody said the one with DeSantis last night, it just won't change anything.
Yeah. Well, the Miami Herald even said, and they did a huge endorsement of Charlie Crist that I read on the air the other day.
Yeah.
And what they said today in the paper was, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, but to the effect of Charlie Crist needed a knockout and he did great, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, unless it's a big old knockout.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway. All right. Asta Mignogna, people, tomorrow, pool duty. And I
what
said duty?
Duty.
Pool duty. Duty.
You got duty?
I got the pool boy duty.
Oh, pool boy. Oh, pool duty.
Pool
that
duty.
Kind of duty.
Yeah.
I thought you meant somebody dutied in the pool.
No.
That's
no.
wrong.
The pool boy.
Kids, don't do that.
Well, the pool boy's ghostwriter we have. So we'll talk
That'll be fun.
Religious hypocrisy. One of my favorite subjects. All right. Now I'm just
I know
spewing.
You're just railing on us.
Look at my new artwork. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to leave everybody with the news. We'll just go out like this. I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you, Laffy. See you on the Twitters. Bye, everybody. Here's the news. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We are now just 2 weeks away from the end of voting in the 2022 midterm elections.
and it's game on. Florida's incumbent governor, Ron DeSantis, and his Democratic challenger, Charlie Crist, met Monday night for their only scheduled debate as early voting started across the state. Crist said that Santis's 2024 presidential ambitions are causing him to ignore the needs of Floridians. He pressed DeSantis to say whether he'd run for president in 2024 or serve all 4 years of his term if he's elected. DeSantis would not answer. Crist, who served as a Republican governor of Florida before going to Congress as a Democrat, said he is the moderate voice that Florida needs. DeSantis touted his conservative credentials, saying he's proud of Florida's 15-week ban on abortion. He also repeatedly tried to link Crist to President Biden, who, according to polls, is unpopular in Florida. Charlie Crist showed empathy and willingness to work for all the people of Florida, while Ron DeSantis proved he's a sniveling coward and just a nasty excuse for a human being. Tonight in Pennsylvania, meeting for their only debate this cycle, John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz, the candidates vying for the open Senate seat there. Also tonight, debates between the gubernatorial hopefuls in Michigan and New York. There will not be a gubernatorial debate in Arizona, as the Democratic nominee, Katie Hobbs, has refused to participate with her opponent, Carrie Lake, who lies and is only interested in creating a spectacle rather than having a substantive policy discussion. Hobbs also said that the Arizona Republican primary debates made voters dumber. Meanwhile, voter intimidation is already happening in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa County, where the sheriff on Monday said he's increasing security around outdoor ballot drop boxes in the Phoenix area due to complaints of alleged intimidation. On Friday, deputies were dispatched to Mesa, a Phoenix suburb, after reports of two masked people carrying guns and wearing bulletproof vests at one of those drop boxes. And that was just one of several cases involving people allegedly motivated by lies about 2020 voter fraud, watching boxes and taking videos of voters depositing their ballots. The sheriff saying, quote, "Every day I'm dedicating a considerable amount of resources just to give people confidence that they can cast a vote safely, and that is absurd." Attorney General Merrick Garland had a press conference on Monday announcing charges against two Chinese intelligence officers accused of attempting to interfere with a U.S. investigation into a Chinese global telecommunications company. Garland also unveiled two other criminal cases, one in New Jersey and one in the Eastern District of New York, bringing the total number of defendants to 13 who are accused of trying to, quote, unlawfully exert influence in the United States. The Justice Department didn't identify the company involved in the telecommunications case, but the complaint against these defendants include details that matched New York's prosecution of the Chinese telecom equipment maker Huawei, which the U.S. has charged with stealing trade secrets. As for all the people disappointed that the announcement wasn't concerning the former guy, the attorney general did say that they don't comment on ongoing investigations. That one is ongoing. Just saying. Breaking news out of Russia today, where WNBA star Brittany Griner's appeal of her 9-year prison sentence was today rejected by a court. The basketball star has been in prison since her February 17th arrest on charges of entering Russia with vape cartridges, which her lawyer said were prescribed to her as part of treatment for chronic pain and other conditions. Just shameful. Speaking of shameful, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas on Monday temporarily froze a lower court order for Senator Lindsey Graham to testify before an Atlanta, Georgia area grand jury who's investigating efforts by the former guy and his allies to reverse Trump's 2020 loss in Georgia. Clarence Thomas, who handles emergency requests from the 11th Circuit, which includes Georgia, put the case on hold while Graham fights the order. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis wants to question Senator Graham about phone calls he made to a Georgia election official following the 2020 election. Graham has argued he should be immune from testifying because his calls and meetings with Georgia officials were part of his duties as a lawmaker? In what universe? The district judge and federal appellate court disagreed. Obviously, so do I. The Justice Department's deadline to respond is Thursday, so stay tuned. Another day, another shooting in America. This time a gunman opened fire at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School in South St. Louis on Monday, killing two people, a woman and a teen girl. Relatives identified the victims as health and phys ed teacher Jean Kuska and sophomore Alexandria Bell. Seven or eight others were also injured, and the suspect, a 19-year-old, died after an exchange of gunfire with police. The shooter, whose name I will not say, graduated from that school last year. And yet another 16-year-old punk admitted on Monday that he shot fellow students at Oxford High School in Michigan last November, killing four of them and wounding seven. Again, I don't ever name cowardly mass murderers because one of their goals is to gain notoriety to where everyone knows their name. So nope. In this case, the shooter's lawyers entered the guilty plea for 24 charges, including terrorism and murder. Though he's a juvenile, he will be sentenced as an adult and could get life in prison. In this case, the shooter was a sophomore at the school. He fired 15 to 20 shots with a semi-automatic handgun. The day before the shooting, one of his teachers said this student's behavior was concerning. School officials asked his parents to take him home the day of the shooting, but they refused. Well, it's official. Now, former UK Prime Minister Liz Truss departed 10 Downing Street Tuesday morning, clearing the way for former UK Finance Minister Rishi Sunak, who won the Conservative Party's leadership contest on Monday and now takes over as Britain's next Prime Minister. Sunak, who is of Indian descent, is the first person of color to lead the British government. He's also 42 years old and now the UK's third Prime Minister in 7 weeks. Sunak will have to unite a party reeling from scandals that forced Boris Johnson to resign 2 months ago, and then the bungled tax plan that killed off Liz Truss's leadership. Now, the Labour Party, which leads the Tories by 30 percentage points in polls, is calling for a new general election as the country is struggling through a cost of living crisis. But the Tories point out that they don't have to mount a new general election until at least 2024. And finally, actor Leslie Jordan, who appeared in popular TV shows before becoming a viral sensation on Instagram during the pandemic, died Monday when his car crashed into a building as he drove to work. Jordan was 67 years old. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.